is able to carry me through. He healed the brokenhearted, and that's chapter 3. He makes the lame to walk again and causes the blind to see. He's able, I know my God is able, I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He's able, I know my Lord is able, I know my God is able to carry me through. He's able, I know my God is able, I know my Lord is able to carry me through. Broken-hearted and set the captive free. He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. He's able, he's able. I know my Lord is able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He's able, he's able. I know my Lord is able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. I know my God is able, I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He healed the brokenhearted and set the captive free. He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. He's able, he's able. I know my Lord is able, I know my Lord is able to carry me through.
Well, we welcome you to our service this morning. In the name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to sing a chorus or two, perhaps, and then a hymn. And we'll open in prayer as well, praise God. And welcome to everyone that's with us this morning. And for those that's viewing on Facebook or via the internet, we give you a warm welcome to our service this morning. It's a beautiful morning, and we thank the Lord for it. I'm going to sing a little chorus. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive.
Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. This is the blood that ransomed me. This is the power that sets me free. This is the life that is given to me. For Jesus is alive. Life that is given to me, for Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. This is the love that ransomed me. This is the power that sets me free. This is the life that is given to me, for Jesus is alive.
He gives strength to me as I worship Him, and my heart is filled with praise. Jesus breaks the band as I raise my hand.
And let's bow our heads this morning for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that indeed this morning we are truly blessed. To have Jesus Christ as our Savior is a blessing indeed. And Lord, to be without you would be such a robbery from us, Lord, that our lives would not be worth the living. But Lord Jesus, even as the hymn says, life is worth the living just because he lives. Amen. Lord, there's no other reason, Lord, for life when we found, Lord, that we were headed to the lost place, Lord, a place of darkness, a place of torment. Lord, there's no hope for man. Lord, a place, Lord, where no joy could be found. But we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you have given us hope. You have given us joy, and you've given us light, and you've given us life. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you single-handedly defeated the devil at that place called Calvary.
Amen.
When you, of your own voluntary will, yes, laid down your life. For Lord, you prayed, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not even my will, but thy will be done. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you were even ready to surrender, Lord, your own self, Lord, for us. We thank you, Lord, that you were delivered into the hands of sinful men, that they abused you, Lord, and done with you what they would. Lord Jesus Christ, as Isaiah wrote, he has brought us a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that silently you took the punishment for me, Lord, and for each one that's gathered here this morning, for each one that knows you as their Savior. You let them whip your back. You let them mock you, Lord. You let them pluck the beard from off your face. You let them smite you on the head and place a crown of thorns upon your head for mockery. And Lord, when they said, if thou be the Son of God, come down from that cross and we'll believe you. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Even as the little hymn says, he didn't come down.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you endured the cross for me.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, that you stayed there until it was finished.
Amen.
And they took your lifeless body off that cross and they put it in a tomb. But Lord God, we're glad for the resurrection morning.
Amen.
That you rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And you ever lived to make intercession for the saints. You're not a weak God this morning, but you're strong and you're mighty. And we thank you, Lord, this morning that we also are strong and mighty. Lord, because of you, Lord Jesus Christ, and we can say with the Apostle Paul this morning, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens
Amen.
Me. Thank you, Lord, that we don't face the day alone. But we thank you, Lord, that we have a friend that sticketh closer than our brother. We thank you, Lord, even that your word says that the angels of the Lord are encamped round about them that fear him. Lord, even this morning there's a great host of angels surrounding us this morning, Lord.
Yes,
we may not
Jesus.
Be able to see them with our eyes, but they're here. We thank you, Lord God, that you're here.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, your word declares that where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you would be in our midst. Lord Jesus Christ, we lift up your precious name this morning throughout this country.
Yes,
Lord, surrounding places, let them hear the word of the gospel this morning, and let the Holy Ghost with the conviction power of God go throughout this countryside this morning, convicting men and women of sin. Let their ears hear the voice of the preacher this morning and the sound of the gospel in the name of Jesus Christ. For those that will be listening over the internet, Lord, we pray that you'll bless them this morning. And if any know thee not as their own Savior, we pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll save them. For thou indeed art a Savior. We pray, Lord, if any's needing healing this morning, that you'll heal them. For thou art a healer.
Amen.
If anyone's looking restored this morning, restore them, for thou art a restorer. If anyone's looking their broken heart mended, mend them in the name of Jesus Christ, for Lord, thou can take that
yes,
which is broken
Jesus.
In pieces, and you can make it new. We thank you, Lord, even as you demonstrated to Jeremiah. Lord, the vessel that was marred was brought back to the potter's wheel, and a new vessel was made. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you can mold us and make us, Lord, into a new
Amen.
Vessel this morning. We pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that you will receive glory and honor and praise unto
yes,
yourself.
Jesus.
We pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that the name of Jesus Christ, not only here, but throughout this whole country and land and province, will be exalted the name of Jesus Christ, that the enemy would suffer defeat and a blow in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.
We ask you, Lord Jesus Christ, that indeed, Lord, that you will plunder through Satan's domain this morning in the name of Jesus Christ and set captivity captive. Lord, we pray that those
yes.
that's held in bondage and held captive by sin, that you will set free by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we pray. Well, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you can break chains this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you can take us out of the dungeon this morning. And, Lord, you can set straight paths before our feet. And we thank you, Lord, that the garments that are spotted by the world, you can take away and give us garments of righteousness because of the imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We ask you, Lord, now this morning that you'll bless the singing, bless the songs, bless those that's here this morning. And if there's any, Lord, in our midst this morning who needs a special touch from you, speak to them, Lord, even through the pastor, Lord, this morning, even through thy word that will go forth in the name of Jesus Christ, even perhaps through the song, speak and minister to each and every one of us, we pray. For each and every one of us has need of you this morning, Lord. And Lord, let me say it plainly. I need you this morning, Lord. We all need you. We are depending upon you, Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ. There's nothing we can do without you, Lord. We totally and wholly depend on you. Lord, come now, Lord God, with strength, power, and might in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, let us have a time of service this morning where we can say, it did not our hearts burn within us while he walked with us along the way.
Yes.
Lord Jesus Christ, now we just ask you, Lord, for your blessing upon our service. And we ask these lovely things in the name of the lovely name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord bless this morning. Praise God. We're going to turn in our redemption hymn books. If you have it with you and you want to sing along, number 314, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, Hear My Humble Cry.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Amen. We'll sing one more hymn before we hand over to the pastor this morning. Number 528, Jesus My Saviour Is Precious To Me. Let's sing that, number 528.
Certainly give everyone a warm welcome in their service again this morning in the name that is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to thank our brother for the word and song this morning, and we thank the Lord that we can come together and worship the Lord and make the best of what we have in this situation. And we just trust the Lord will bless each one and those listening in this morning by way of the internet. May the Lord bless you and may the Lord touch you. And we want God to have His wonderful way in each of our lives and hearts. And we want to magnify His lovely name. Will the Lord bless each one, and I appreciate each one that's come out this morning. Let us turn to the Word of God till Galatians 2 and verse 20, and I want to read different scriptures this morning. Galatians 2 verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. One again, if we could just bow our head to ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can come from thy footstool into thy very throne room and into thy very presence by the new and living way through the precious blood of the Lamb. Father, we do come this morning pleading the merits of the precious blood of the Lamb. We plead your precious blood over our lives afresh, over our families and all that's near and dear to us, and over this whole gathering this morning and over the airwaves. We plead the power of thy blood. We ask for the moving of the Spirit of God to quicken your word, to quicken these mortal beings, Lord, and to quicken all that would hear. Quicken the word to people, we pray. Oh God, make these, Lord, you promised you will not quench a smoking flax. Lord, we just pray you'll have your way. And Father, I do take the blessed Holy Spirit to help me. And I thank you that you do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. I want to take for the text this morning, Jesus Christ, the way. The key to have the God life within you is what I want to talk about. And people have life, but the life you need this morning is God's life living in you, living in me. And there is a key to having the God life within you and to be able to personally relate to what Jesus Christ did for us when he died on the cross in our place. We must believe what the Bible says firstly this morning. God's word is the authority. It's not the word of a man or the word of an organization, but it is the word of God that is the absolute authority. Let every man be a liar, but let God's word be the truth. When Jesus Christ died, it was not for the sins he had committed. The punishment he endured was your sins and my sins, and he was judged once for all mankind. Romans 6:6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we could serve sin no more. Remember, God promised that if we believe what his word says about Christ dying for you, dying for me, that his power would come and transform us into the child of the King again and give us life, and we would be reborn, born again of the Spirit of God. We were born once in the natural, but we have to be born again by the supernatural act of God. We were born once of our natural parents, but we need to be born again from our Heavenly Father, born again by the Spirit of Almighty God. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So there's power in the name of Jesus Christ when you believe in it. There's no other name that works like that. I want to say that. There's no other name that can do that. There's no other name that has that power and that authority in it like the name of Jesus. When you believe on the name of Jesus, there's a power in it. There's an authority in it. It'll change your life. It'll change your situation. It can make you a new creature. It can make you to be a child of God from a child of the devil. It can transform you. It will literally turn you inside out and upside down and then back on your feet again. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but that's the truth. And you know the apostles, when they went out to the book of Acts with that name of Jesus, the word of God said they turned the world upside down. There was that much power in the name of Jesus Christ. Romans 6:4-6 says this, therefore we're buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, so also we should walk in newness of life. We can only walk in this newness of life if we receive the Lord Jesus Christ. We need God's life in us, the God life. Our own life's no good. Our own life won't take us beyond the grave. But we need the life that was in God in us. We need the Spirit of God in us. We need quickened. We need reborn, born again of the Spirit of Almighty God. We need to have a birth, or we'll never enter heaven. We need to have an experience with Jesus Christ, or we'll never reach the glories of the Lord. Now you can read Romans 6, verse 4, verse 8 and 11. Now if we be dead with Christ, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want you to understand, I want you to relate yourself to God's plan for you. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for every man. God has a plan for every woman. And God has a plan for you. It is a personal plan for you. It was carried out on your behalf. He opened the way for you and him and you to live together. God made that way possible. God opened that plan for you. God opened that plan for me. And he opened that plan through the lovely person of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross 2,000 years ago. On the cross 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, you know, when he left the glory, he left the splendor of heaven, he became us that we might become him. That's the word of God. He became us that we might become him. You know, you have a right today to choose. You have that right. You have a right to choose. He loves you and he paid for you. The Lord loves you today. And the Lord paid for your brother. Mentioned it in his song and he mentioned it in his prayer. Jesus Christ died a cruel death. He was wounded. He was bruised. He was spit upon. He was beaten. His brow was crowned with thorns for me and for you. But you have a choice to make. A choice to make whether you receive him or reject him. But the Lord loves you. He really loves you. He moved your judgment by suffering in your place. The judgment due to you, the judgment due to me, he took it. He took it upon himself. And he stood in our room. And he stood in our stead. And he suffered for me. And he suffered for you. And he died for me. And he died for you. And thank God he was raised again from the dead for me and for you, that we could have life, and that more abundantly. Now all you have to do is believe. You have the right of freedom to choose to believe. God has given you the right of freedom to choose to believe. The moment you decide to believe that Christ's death was in your behalf, then he will come in and live with you forever. The very moment you trust in Jesus Christ, he'll move into you. He'll come into you. When you believe in his name, the Bible says there's power in that name to change you. There's power in that name to transform you like no other name. And the moment you believe, you will receive new life forever. You will be saved. The key to the new life is to relate yourself to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can do that right now today. You can relate yourself to God through the Lord Jesus Christ right now today. You don't have to wait for another day or another month, but you can do it today. Look what 2 Corinthians 6 and 2 says. For he saith, I have heard thee in an accepted time. In a day of salvation, I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't say, I leave it for another day. Don't say, I'll put it off for another day. But today is the day of salvation. The Lord is calling you today. The Holy Spirit is calling you today. The voice of God is calling you today. And he's saying you can come today. Today is the time. Now is the time. Now is the accepted time. Now is the right time. Come now. Don't leave it, but come today and receive Jesus Christ. God's salvation plan, his plan of salvation, is written in the Bible for you. That's why the Bible was written. That's why the Word of God was written. The Word of God wasn't written for no reason. God has a plan of salvation for you. God has a plan for you. And God's thoughts for you are good thoughts. Good thoughts and good plans for you. John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace, and in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You have peace with the Lord. You have only peace with the Lord. God wants you to be at peace with Him. He wants you to be at peace with Him. He created you. He loves you. He values you. The Bible says in Isaiah 57 verse 21 that there is no peace for the unbeliever. There's no peace for those outside of Christ. There's no joy, real joy, for those outside of Christ. But there's peace with the Lord. There's joy with the Lord. There's satisfaction with the Lord. There's healing with the Lord. There's blessing with the Lord. There's eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't find it in an organization. You'll not even find it in a movement or anything like that. There's only one place you can find it. And that is in the person of the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. In the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to salvation. There's healing, there's deliverance, there's joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. You'll never find it in a building or in a movement or in an organization, but you'll find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one we need to have, we need to know. Why? Why is there no peace? Because when Adam and Eve questioned the integrity of God's word, they abandoned the lifestyle and the friendship of God. That's what they've done. They questioned the word of God. The serpent said, has God said? But they had a choice. They had a choice. Eve blamed the serpent and Adam blamed Eve. But they had a choice and they made the wrong choice. And when they made the wrong choice, they brought death and destruction and decay upon all humanity. The curse came because of Adam's sin. The fall came because of Adam's sin. Death came because of Adam's sin. Man won't live naturally forever because of Adam's sin. But there is a way out, and the way out is the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, many do it today. Christians do it. They question the integrity of God's word. You know, it's a sin to disbelieve the word of God. It's a sin. And so many people question the word of God. And Eve questioned the word of God. And I'll tell you, it brought this whole thing. And Adam questioned the word of God, the integrity of the word of God, and they lost the lifestyle and the friendship of God. There could be no peace. Fear replaced confidence. Disease destroyed health. Grief and sorrow superseded happiness and tranquility. Loneliness reigned instead of friendship. Guilt and condemnation ruled instead of peace and assurance. That's the results of Adam's sins. That's what Adam's sins brought about. Aren't you glad the Bible tells us of another Adam? Aren't you glad the Bible speaks of the Lord from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ? And as we bear the image of the earthly, aren't you glad we shall bear the image of the heavenly? Isaiah 59 and 2 says, but your iniquities have separated between you and God. We're separated from God. We're away from God. We're at a distance from God. Our sins have put us at a distance. We hear about social distancing, 2 meters, and then they're talking about making it 1 meter. But I want to tell you, man is more than 2 meters. Man is more than 1 meter. Man is an eternity away from God if he doesn't come to Jesus Christ. That's a long way, isn't it? A whole eternity away from God if he doesn't come to Jesus Christ. He's separated from God, but Jesus Christ brought time and eternity together at Calvary. And he bridged the gap on the cross for me and for you because he loves us and he wants to save us. Praise God. Your iniquities have separated between you and God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Confession and insecurity take the place. Confusion and insecurity take the place of faith and love, is not it? People today are confused. People today are following things they don't know about. When you research it, you find it's not good at all. But I tell you today, I'm not telling you to follow a mega ministry. I'm not telling you to follow an organization. I'm telling you today to follow the lovely person, the man of Galilee, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you follow him, you're following God. If you follow him, you're on your way to heaven. If you follow him, you're going to be blessed. If you follow him, you're going to be saved. And you're going to receive that kingdom, the glorious kingdom, which he's prepared for them that love him and even love his appearing. Oh, praise God for that this morning. But when you know that God loved and valued you enough to give his son to be judged in your place so that you could be restored to him as though you sinned, you had never committed a sin. God can restore you as though you never committed a sin. To be justified means as though you never done it. And that's a power that the blood of Jesus Christ has. The blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us and make us fully whole and make us white as snow. And when God looks at us, he no longer sees our sin, but he sees the blood of Jesus Christ, and he looks at us as though we never done it in the first place. Then you realize that there's nothing left to stand between you and God. Nothing. When you come to him and you know that he loves you and you know he gave his life for you, there's nothing left that can stand between you and God. Romans 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation. My friend, if you're saved this morning, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We need to be walking after the Spirit. The Bible says the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. The Bible says that the man that's led by the Spirit is like the wind. You cannot tell whether he cometh or whether he goeth, because he's led by the Spirit of God. But there's somebody else leading today. I preached it a couple of weeks ago. The prince, the power of the earth that now worketh, and the children of disobedience. He's leading people. Every person that's not saved, whether you know it or not, the devil is leading you. The spirit of this world is leading you. You need to make a change this morning. You need to cancel your master. And you need to get a new master. You need to fall out with the devil and fall in love with Jesus Christ. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Here's what he'll do for you. Restore the self-dignity. That's what the Lord will do for you. You open your arms and welcome Jesus Christ as he brings God's life back into your home, into your heart, and where you and he become friends again. You see, we're a distance from God. We're out of fellowship with God, but we need to come back into fellowship. We need to come back to the place for God's life comes in us, for God's life reigns in us, for God's life moves in us, and where we live the life while I live, Paul says, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I want this morning to look at some Bible quotations that will confirm to you God's salvation plan. And I've deliberately wrote these scriptures, and somebody say, Brother Tom, you're reading a lot of scriptures. Well, I'll tell you, you never hear a complaint when people read words of some man. I want to tell you that this word of God is worth quoting. The word of God will stand quoting. It's worth quoting. And I want you to know this morning, and I want to say again and again, that there is no word of God void of power. But the word of God has power in it. The word of God has authority in it. Its word won't return unto him void. Its word will do the thing he sends it to do. It'll prosper whether I, the Lord, sends it. Jeremiah says that God watches over his word to perform his word and to bring his word to pass. First, let's see how God wants you to be near him and how he wants to be near you. God doesn't want you to be at a distance. God wants to be near you. God wants to be your friend. He loves you and he wants to be near you. 1 Corinthians 1 and 9. God is faithful, by whom you are called unto the fellowship of his Son, even Christ Jesus. It is through the fellowship of his Son that you can be near God. Jesus Christ came to take your place. Jesus Christ came to take your sins. Jesus Christ came to take your sorrows. Jesus Christ came and he bore your sickness. He took your sickness. He took God's wrath that was due you. It was due me. Jesus took it on himself on the cross so that we could be near God, so that we could come back in fellowship with God. But you can't come near God if you don't receive Jesus. You can't have God's blessing if you don't receive Jesus. You can't have God's joy if you don't receive Jesus. Jesus can't be your friend if you don't invite him in. You must invite him in today. Invite him in to stay. Say, come in, Lord Jesus. And when you invite him in, he will come in. The next quotation reminds you that God's salvation plan is and has always been based on your confidence in the integrity of God's word. It's God's word that we have confidence in. And that's the very thing the devil tried to decay. That's the very thing the devil tried to attack, was the word of God. Eve had the word of God. Adam had the word of God. And the serpent attacked the word of God when he said to Eve, "Hath God said?" He attacked the integrity of the word of God. Hear me this morning. When you hear the word of God preached, there'll be a devil in your ear to tell you you don't need nothing to do nothing about it. There'll be a demon in your ear to say to you, you can get saved another time. You're just young. You've plenty of time. But I'm saying to you today, you don't know what a day can bring forth. You need to seek the Lord while he's near you. You need to seek the Lord while he can be found. For the day cometh when you'll not be able to do it. God holds the very breath you breathe. I don't know if you saw it, but some of the brothers put it round on the website where the brothers spoke about the name Yahweh. And when you say it slowly, it's a prayer that every person says. And when you take a breath slowly, you're saying Yahweh. You're saying the name of God. God holds the breath you breathe. You're breathing because of God. You're moving and living because of God. That's the Bible. That's the authority of God's word. But the Lord wants you to trust him. The Lord wants you to come to him and take him as your Savior and take him as your Lord in your own life. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Lord wants us to continually seek him. The Lord wants us to continually search after him. Have you sought the Lord? Have you ever sought the Lord? Have you ever said, I'm going to seek the Lord? Have you ever said, I'm going to set aside time tonight to seek the Lord? Have you ever said, I'm going to set time aside this morning to seek the Lord? Daniel sought God 3 times a day. And the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, I will rise up early and I will seek the Lord. I will look unto the hills when whence cometh my help, for my help cometh from the Lord. Have you ever done that? Have you ever decided you're going to seek the Lord? People today are so caught up with this world and the things of this world, they've no time for God. They've no time for the things of God. But the Bible reminds us that we need to seek God. We need to take time to pray. We need to take time to seek God and to search after God and to have faith in God that God will do what he says he'll do. Next, we want to clearly see from the Bible quotation the ways Jesus Christ became your personal substitute, assumed your guilt and suffered the penalty of your sin in his death for you as you're on the cross. He done it on the cross. Isaiah 53, surely have borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. And yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before the shears. His dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence. Neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the plies of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Here Colossians 1 and 20 sums this up. In Colossians 1 and 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. Jesus Christ made peace through the blood of his cross. Isaiah 53 is termed as the fifth gospel. Do you know that? Because Isaiah 53 is all about Jesus on the cross. It shows the wounds that Jesus suffered, the seven great wounds that Christ suffered on the cross. The worst wounds that could be inflicted upon a human body, Jesus had them inflicted upon him on Calvary. Because he loved you, and because he loves me, because he wants to save you, because he wants to save me. He didn't go to the cross to save himself. He never needed to save himself. for he done no sin and he done no wrong, but he needed to save you, he needed to save me. We were born in sin, we were sheep in iniquity, and we need a Savior, and that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. Brought back as God's friend, that's what we can be. We want to look at more quotations which explain the results that you can experience when you understand and believe that Jesus Christ actually died in your place and endured all of the punishment and condemnation you deserve to bear. That's what he done. He received all the punishment, he received all the condemnation that you deserve to bear in Colossians 1:20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. And if you continue in faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. It doesn't say from the hope of a church. It doesn't say from the hope of an organization. It doesn't say from the hope of some man. The hope of the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That's the Bible. That is the Bible. That is the word of God. The gospel's our hope, because it's God's good news to mankind. The gospel is God's good news to mankind. The gospel is our hope. And what does Romans say? Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Have you got this hope? Have you heard the gospel? Have you received the gospel? Maybe you're here. Maybe you've heard the gospel, but you've never received it. You've never acted upon it. My friend, you're in a position. You need to do something. You can no longer be negative, but you need to do something. You need to make a move, and you need to make a move today. You need to make a move, and you need to make a move now. And that move needs to be towards the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel which you have heard, which we have preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof Paul am made a minister. Here's the thing you need to do, my friend. You need to be identified with Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about being identified with the movement. I'm not talking about being identified with an organization. I'm not talking about being identified with some priest or some great man. But I'm talking about being identified with a person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being identified with the Lord Jesus. Are you identified with him? Do you know him? Whom to know is life eternal. Let's see now from the Bible how you're personally identified with Jesus Christ in his death, burial, resurrection. We read Isaiah 53 verse 5. I'm going to repeat it. But he was wounded for your transgressions, for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with the stripes we are healed. Then the Bible tells us about being identified in water baptism. In Romans 6 verse 5 and 6, we're identified. Many Christians today claim they don't need water baptism. They say the feet and the cross wasn't baptized. You are not the feet and the cross. You're not taking your last breath. You're not him. And I want to say to you, if you're saved and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you need to come to the water baptism, and you need to come under the water and identify with the death of Christ. Then you need to come out of the water and identify with the resurrection of Christ, and you need to take his name. Just like when you were born a McKinstry or born a McDonald, you took your parents' name. And when you're born again, you take his name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe in his name. You're baptized into the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, into that name which has power to resurrect you, which has power to change you, which has power to make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. It's all in the power of that name. Let me just read you this. You repent of what you already have done, and then you're identified with him. Here is the pool. Now, no doubt, many will go in it in a few moments. You're identified with him in baptism. For if we are buried in Christ, we are identified as death, burial, resurrection. That's why we're baptized. We go down into the water, come back up out to witness that we believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if we be planted in his likeness, in his death, God give us a promise, we will be like him in his resurrection. Romans 4:25 says, who have delivered us of our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Jesus Christ went down into the grave, but he was raised again for our justification. And we need to be identified in his death and in his burial and in his resurrection. My friend, are you identified with the Lord? You say, well, I'm identified with the movement. I shook hands. I joined the movement. That's good, but it won't take you to heaven. There's no movement can take you to heaven. When you go and the movement goes, things will continue on. But once you're identified with Jesus Christ, you need to come by faith and lay your hands on the bloody sacrifice of Christ on the cross. You need to confess your sins over him. You need to tell him, Lord, I'm a sinner. Will you save me? And the Lord will save you once you're identified with him. Ephesians 2:6 says, and have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Romans 6:8, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him. I tell you, when you die with Christ, you must die. There must be a time in this life for you to die. But when you die and trust Christ, you're reborn. You're born again. You're a new creature. You're going to be resurrected. Not only are you a new creature now, not only will you be seated in heavenly places now, but there's a thing going to happen called the rapture. The rapture, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, there's a great event that's near. It's nearer than it's ever been. It's called the second coming of Jesus Christ. And the second coming of Jesus Christ is near. It's nearer today than it's ever been. And Jesus Christ is coming for every man and for every woman that's identified with him. And you're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And you're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the earth. You're going to leave this earth and you're going to go to heaven and home. And the tribulation's going to come in this world. The Bible calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. Time of sorrow. Time of weeping. Time of wailing. A time when men will say, till the rocks fall on us, that we perish, for we can suffer no more. That's a time that's coming. But if you're not identified with Christ, you're not going to go when the Lord comes. You're going to remain. But if you're identified with Jesus Christ, identified with his death, burial and resurrection, identified with the lovely Holy Spirit that comes to fill you, that comes to baptize you, that comes to indwell you, that comes to fill every mortal of your body and change you and quicken you, as his son and his daughter. Are you identified with him? Do you know him today? 2 Corinthians 6:16, and what agreement have the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. I tell you, we're not the temple of the world, the living God. God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This is what happened when we identified with the Lord. The Lord walks with us. The Lord talks with us. The Lord is with us. The Lord is our help. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. We have a friend called Jesus. We have a big brother called Jesus. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Isn't that wonderful? That's something the world hasn't got. That's something the unsaved hasn't got. The unsaved man, the unsaved woman doesn't have this fellowship. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you once walked with the Lord, but you've gotten away from God. You've got cold. You've got dry. You've got indifferent. My friend, the Lord still loves you. The Lord still cares for you. The Lord's still near you. You can turn afresh to him today. He'll revive you. He'll restore you. He'll renew you. He'll quicken you, praise God. And he'll give you that joy that you've long lost. The joy of the Lord is my strength, praise God. David lost that joy. David lost that spring in his step, as it were. But he cried to the Lord, and the Lord restored him. The Lord renewed him. The Lord gave him back that joy. The Lord gave him back that blessing. My friend, if you're listening and you're backslidden, come back to Calvary. Come back to the cross. You just need your joy restored. Praise God. God will refresh you. God will renew you. God will restore you because he loves you. The Bible's clear. He's forever married to the backslider. If you're not saved, you need to come to them. You need to identify with them today. I would say to you, don't leave here. Or if you're listening in, don't do anything till you get saved. Don't do anything till you get right with God. If you don't know the moment that your breath could go and you could be took out into that beyond. I tell you, and it's a place you don't want to go, a place for the unsaved called hell. And hell's mentioned in the Bible more than heaven to warn man. And God even says he never made hell for man. He made hell for the devil and the fallen angels that followed the devil. Because God loves man. God doesn't want to send man to hell, but the Christ rejecter will go to hell. The man that's not identified with Jesus. There's no place for your soul but hell. That's the sad truth. That's why Jesus came to save you, because he loves you. I'm finishing just in a moment. Galatians 2:13, and you've been dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, had he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Aren't you glad the blood of Jesus cleansed you? Aren't you glad the blood of Jesus made you clean? I hear a lot of people singing, the blood covered my sin. Well, it didn't cover mine, I'm sorry. I'm not under the old law. I'm not under the old bullock. I'm not under the old lamb. The blood of Jesus does not cover, but it washes clean and it washes away. It's not a covering, it's a removal. Aren't you glad for that? That the blood of Jesus removed your sin. Far away into the sea of God's forgetfulness. No longer to be remembered against you. No more. My sin is gone. It's gone to stay. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that? Friends, we're not working with an Old Testament bullock or a lamb, but we're working with God's own Son. We're working with the blood of God himself in the veins of Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, God with us. Praise his name. There's power of this blood like no other that can cleanse, that can heal. Are you identified with him? So we see these verses summarize the facts of identity. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What about sharing God's new life? You say you're saved, do you share God's new life? Are you one of them Christians that you wouldn't even know that you are a Christian? If you were took down to the FBI and they done a report on you, would you come out as a believer or an unbeliever? Does your life show Christ? Is your life worthy of the gospel? Do you tell your fellow man and fellow woman about the message of Calvary? Do you pray for those that need saved? I'm challenging you today. I tell you, we need to have that sharing of God's new life. I want you to see from the Bible how you must always trust God's plan of salvation. You must always trust it. Never neglect it. Always trust it. Romans 6:11. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. This world's nothing for the real believer. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Or do you build the kingdom here? Are you going to build a big kingdom here? Do you think you're staying here forever? My friend, you're not going to be here long. This is a journey we're on, and it's a short journey. For Jesus Christ went back to the Father, and he said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. We're only here for a short time. We're here to glorify God. We're here to exalt the name of Jesus. We're here to glorify the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're here to spread the gospel. We're here to tell the good news. We're here to let others know that Jesus lives and can change lives. That he can make a drunkard a preacher. That he can make a drug addict a saint. A prostitute a real lady. That's the power of the gospel. That's the power that's in the blood of Jesus Christ. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What about verse 33 today? 36 only. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. John 3:36. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. John 10, verse 10, and I'm going to close. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Jesus Christ wants you to have life more abundantly. You know what that means? That means life and life to spare. More abundantly means you can't use it. There's so much you could never use at all. That's what abundance means. It means when you go to use it, you can never overuse it. You can never overdo it. It's more and beyond what you'll ever need. Jesus Christ gives us this life, and this life more abundantly. Do you know him today? Are you following the Lord? Are you trusting the Lord? Are you identified with Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is the way. There's no other way. No other way. John saw him coming. And I can see John as he looked out. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And there John identified Christ as God's taker away of sin. John pointed him out. John saw him. John knew him. John knew because John was told by God, "Upon the one that thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining, this is the one that will take away the world, the sin of the world." This is him. John saw him, and John cried out loud and cried out clear. John never said, "Look at me." John never said, "Follow me." John said, "I must decrease, but he must increase." John pointed to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John saw him, and John knew him, and John pointed to him. Do you know him today? Have you come to him? I would ask you to come. Come as you are. Will you come to the Lord? Will you come to him today? He'll save you today. He'll save you now. He'll transform you. He'll birth you into a new creature in Christ Jesus. We're going to come and we're going to pray. Praise God. Three bugs. I want to give you opportunity this morning. I want you to be sincere. I want you to be real before God. You say, "I'll come again next week." How do you know? We might never meet here again. We don't know. We don't know. We see things happening in the world every day. No man knoweth what a day brings forth. The Lord has given you an opportunity today. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to bow your heads in your cars, on the internet, wherever you are. I want you to be sincere before God. If there's any this morning in these cars, if there's any this morning over these airwaves, and you would say, "Preacher, I need Jesus and I want him," will you lift your hand in your room? Will you lift your hand in your car? Will you be clear about it? Will you make a movement towards the Lord? Will you lift it and say, "I'm coming now. I'm coming to the Lord." Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message of the gospel. We thank you for the power to save, for the power to change. Father, I ask for every hand that's raised, that thou indeed will give deciding grace, that thou would save that man, that woman, that boy, that girl, that thou would bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. We know your word says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, keep your eyes closed. Keep your head bowed. If there's anything here today and you need a touch in your body, I believe he's a Savior, a healer, a baptizer in the Holy Ghost, and a soon coming King. I want you to raise your hand. In your home, in your car, raise your hand clear to God. Say, "Lord, I receive you as my healer. I accept you. I believe you." And I'm going to pray a prayer of faith for you. I want you to believe God to touch you where you are. He can do it. The airwaves don't stop the Holy Spirit. He's everywhere. The world can't contain him. The heaven are but the clouds of his feet. Father, in all of heaven, we thank thee for the power of the gospel. We thank thee for the power of the blood. For the wounds you received, by your stripes we're healed. Lord, I pray for that man. I pray for that woman. I pray for that boy, that girl. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Son of the living God, heal that man, heal that woman, heal that boy, heal that girl. I rebuke the spirit of infirmity. In the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke every disease, every affliction. You bore our sicknesses and you bore our diseases on the cross. Manifest thy power in every life now. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Praise God, praise God. God bless you this morning. I want you to believe God. As a brother comes to lead us, we'll be live this evening at 4:30. Tune in. Praise God. And we'll be continuing each Sunday morning here by God's grace. God bless you all. As a brother Gary comes, and if you've been praying for and you've asked the Lord to save you, send us a message. If you've been healed, send your testimony in. God bless you all.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Maybe if we know that hymn, can we sing it together? Thank God I am free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. For a long time I traveled down a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy and sin I sank low. Somewhere in the shadows. Afternoon, Lord, for the message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, good news that a man that was born in sin, trespasses and iniquities, can be quickened and made alive by the blood and the life of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that the offer is made freely to each and every one. And Lord, anyone, Lord, who goes to hell, goes there because they choose to reject you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that, Lord, your burden is easy and your yoke is light. Lord, you're the most lovely character in all through history. You're the most lovely person, Lord, and we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you have demonstrated your love when you went to the place called Calvary. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you laid down your life a ransom for many. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that even now this morning you're offering, saying, come on to me, all you that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We thank you, Lord, for the invitation, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever will may come. We just pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that thy word will not fall on deaf ears this morning, but Lord, the people will listen and take heed, and Lord, the people will make the right choice and the right decision, the wise choice and the wise decision to accept thee, Lord Jesus Christ, as Lord and Saviour. For indeed, Lord, it's written in your word, and we believe it's true, that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that indeed Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, not only the believer, but also the unbeliever will also have to confess with his own mouth, with his own lips, that thou art the very God, the God of heaven. For thy word says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you now, Lord God, as we go to our homes, that you'll bring us to our homes in safety, Lord, each and every one who would travel. We pray, Lord God, you'll continue to minister to us. And Lord, help us to take up the challenge this morning that we heard, to tell our neighbour, to tell our friends, to tell our work colleagues, about the wonderful new life that which we have received. Help us, Lord, to live our lives worthy of the gospel. Help us, Lord, always to have thy name upon our lips. And help us never to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ and what you've done for us. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you this morning. And we say, Lord, with the Apostle John, we love him because he first loved us. Lord, just we pray now in Jesus Christ's name that you'll bless the pastor. Lord, help him, Lord, as he continues on in this way. Lord, continue to speak to him, Lord, and reveal thy word to him, Lord, and Lord, even to each and every one of us. And Lord, we pray that soon again we'll be able to meet in fellowship, Lord, in a building, Lord, where we can, Lord, come together again. But Lord, we thank you, Lord, even for this time of opportunity in the open air. And Lord, we thank you for thy wonderful creation. And Lord, we say, Lord, that wherever we are, we can praise thee and we can magnify thee. And we just bless thy holy name. Lord Jesus Christ, now, we just ask you, Lord, that your blessing will be upon each and every one as we go. And Lord, for the meeting, Lord, even also this evening, this afternoon, we pray you'll bless the pastor, Lord, as he brings forth thy word again. Help each one to tune in, and we just pray, Lord, for all that will tune in, that you'll bless and encourage and save and heal. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you as we go. Praise God. There'll be a bucket at the gate if you'd like to drop in your tithes or your offerings. It'll be greatly received. Thank you very much. I'm just going to sing a chorus or two. While we go, says the Lord,
I'm gonna stay right under.